Appreciate your prayers this morning. Got an old story. Write my topic here on the board. Normally think of Cain and Abel in the same sentence, but that's too big a subject for me. So we'll just talk about Cain a little bit. His story is found in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. But I won't read it all to you. I'll just recite some of it. Adam and Eve, first human beings created. So our story goes back this morning to the dawn of time, creation of the world, first people in it, the history of their behavior. In a way, I don't care very much about Cain. He's been gone a long time. There's nothing I can do that will affect what has happened to him, and there's nothing he can do that will affect me anyway. But I do care a great deal about how God dealt with Cain. Because in that dealing, he set the pattern for the way he deals with humankind. And he gives us insights into eternal things. I don't find anywhere in the scriptures that indicate at all that Cain lacked faith, a belief in God. And I almost think it was impossible. The contact was so strong. Since him, down to our time and mine, there have been so many other voices in the world to do things to take people's faith away. But he had a father and mother who had walked directly with God in the garden. And they knew. I don't think faith was much of a problem for Adam and Eve. And I doubt if it was much of a problem for Cain and Abel. The contact was too strong. Too many things that Adam and Eve could discuss with them just firsthand. This is what happened. Hard to argue with. Well, he's still that real, of course. But the story is that Adam and Eve violated, put out of the garden, and had a child. First child was Cain, and the second child was Abel. Both of them came to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And the story is that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was not. Although he was the older, his sacrifice was not accepted. Folks have pondered a lot, and I have too, about why Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. But that isn't really the deepest trouble that Cain got into. See, sin, erosion of the spiritual life, separation from God is always a process. Steps leading downward. The first step with Cain was the disapproval of God. It was not beyond remedy. And it did not occur without the Lord dealing with him about it. He had a chance. I'm not saying anything about why his sacrifice was not accepted. I'm just saying that Cain knew there was a God. Faith wasn't really much of an issue. And he also was aware that God was not pleased with him. Because God let him know something about it. And he had a chance. Anytime we do anything in life, we make choices. We have opportunities to choose the good or to choose the evil, just as Cain did. Cain, scripture said, his countenance fell. His face was wroth. Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. And here's my text. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I say again that moving away from God, moving into sin, is always a process. There are steps, successive steps, that make this happen. And the Lord has a way of visiting us, each one, as those steps are contemplated before they are taken. This is accounting time, Cain. Think about what's really going on. What is the real reason why you're upset? For his face to fall, for him to be angry, there's something else that lies underneath that anger that made him behave like he did. It wasn't the sacrifice. It wasn't whether it was vegetables or sheep. I know that had something to do with God accepting, but there's something more the Lord was dealing with in Cain. It's your anger. And what's underneath your anger? And you have to think of the logical things people do when they get feelings against somebody else. It's envy. It's jealousy. It's resentment. It wasn't so much the sheep and the carrots. It's the envy. And God called him to account on that. Cain, what's going on inside of you? What thoughts are you thinking that's making your face be like it is? All of us have circumstances to face in life. Life will never go in a pleasant or easy path, to say it another way, for any one of us. What's important is not whether things always happen to please us. It's the thoughts we have about what's going on with us. They develop into attitudes. They did so with Cain. And the Lord set before Cain, if I could say so, a clear window into eternity. What the consequence of his actions would be, and an incentive to follow in the right ways of the Lord. And that's my message this morning, because he wants us, everyone, to have that same window to consider what we do in our lives. So let me read the verse again. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? What thoughts are you thinking, Cain? What's really going on inside of you? Scripture said, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The scripture said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The anger, the hostility, the feelings of rejection, the feelings of envy and jealousy were working in Cain's heart. And the very fact that God would speak with him about it is enough to tell us he didn't have to be that way. I have control of my thoughts, don't you? Scripture speaks of bringing every thought into captivity under Jesus Christ. We may have a thought pass through our mind. We don't have to enlarge on it. We don't have to dwell on it. We don't have to let it go off into the various roots, like a tree root, in the various directions that it can go. We can refuse to allow ourselves to meditate feelings or cultivate feelings of resentment and negative feelings. We can think positive things if we choose to. So could Cain. So he should have. And the Lord laid before him now. And the very fact that God visited Cain is enough to tell us that these are choices that Cain had to make. What are you doing, Cain? Don't you understand how this is? If you do well, you'll be accepted too. You don't have to come into a place to be rejected. You don't have to have a penalty against you. Adam and Eve have sinned. They brought disfavor into your life. They put you under a curse. But you can be accepted. That's what he said here. That's one of the first promises, one of the first in the Bible. If you do well, meaning not so much, again, the carrots or the sheep, meaning in your mind, the things that are making you feel like you do. Cain, stop that. Bring it under control. If you do that, you can be accepted. You can have a blessing, in so many words. I love you too. I'm willing to help you too. But if you don't, Cain, there's a consequence. And no one can make that choice but you. And I'm going to warn you, the Lord told Cain, what the consequence is. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. This, our English translation doesn't quite capture this. The original would say, sin croucheth at the door. And it's a reference to a wild animal. It's really the language that's used here. The Bible uses that kind of term when it speaks of someone lying in wait. For instance, we think of something lying at the door like it lies down and it's peaceful. But that isn't what this means. It's like the Lord told Cain, there's a bear outside your door. And if you go in the wrong way, it's waiting. It's got evil purpose and intent. It's greater than you are. It's going to do terrible damage if you allow yourself to continue to meditate in the way that you're going. Your feelings of resentment now are only feelings. But if you carry them to the point of turning them into action, something's going to happen. And it's greater than you are. It'll overmaster you. You'll not be the same person afterwards that you are before. The next verse in this says, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, where have we heard those words before? That's the same thing that the Lord told Eve concerning her husband. Because of what had happened, the blessed curse, if you could call it that, meaning that it was the best that was left for her. She'd been better if she'd not gone that way. But since she had, the Lord gave her the best it could be available to her. And he said, your desire shall be to your husband. But here, and that is a holy relationship, as much as it could be holy, given that sin had entered into the world. But those words now are applied to Eve's son, and they're not a holy thing. This is an unholy, this is an horrific relationship. This animal crouching at your door, if you give vent to him, he'll have a desire back to you. And it's very powerful. We can say it this way. Sin always gets worse. It never finds a place to recover itself. It is easier to find people, nearly any sin you can name, it is easier to find people who can honestly say, I have never committed that sin, than to find people who can say, I've only done it once. Because when people do it once, they open the gates. There's a desire that it's like it awakens something in the spirit, in the breast of the devil, a longing, a passion, the kind of thing that made the devils that were in people that Jesus cast out beg him for permission to go into someone else. They're seeking all the time for someone, a life on which to feed, a person, human flesh, sensuality, I mean, not our literal flesh, but a sensuality, looking for somewhere to feed on that. And if you give in to it, you feed the desire of it. And then he said, you'll have rule over him. But I'll put my translation on it. You better have rule over him. Because this monster will devour you if you don't. And once you've created that breach, the ability to have rule over him gets a whole lot harder. But you better have rule over him. No matter how much he's got, you'll still have a choice. And you better exercise that choice. The things that you are thinking now, Cain, about your brother, if you carry those out, it's going to get a lot worse. And it won't only be toward your brother. It'll be toward everybody. This, Cain, what you're thinking about, this will destroy a marriage relationship. It'll destroy your relationship with your children. It'll destroy your ability to have contact in a wholesome way with other human beings anywhere in the world. In fact, that's what happened. After Cain killed Abel and the Lord pronounced a judgment on him, he said, my sentence is more than I can bear. He said, anywhere that I go, people will hunt me to kill me. And meaning that there's a breach now. This desire overmastered him. And it's like you let the monster out. It's crouching at the door now. It's like a bear on a chain. And you've got him held at the door. And what happens next depends on you. That's really what this passage of scripture means. Think about this phrase, if you would, if thou doest well. It's easy for us to think what we do this afternoon doesn't matter very much. Maybe I should say it's easy for people to lightly forgive themselves. You know? Yeah, it's just my dog. I can kick him if I want to. It's just my servant. I can speak evil of him if I want to. It's just my boss. The scripture said, man shall give an account of every idle word. Those words strike fear in my soul, and I think they should for all of us. Those are terrible words. You see, memory is forever. Everything that we do is sealed in our memory, and we're going to account for the things that are in our memory. We need to do well. We need to do well because there is a day coming when all the past will be with us as if it had just happened. And the fact that years have gone by since we may have done something that was evil, if that stands uncorrected, the passage of the years do not take away the force of God's dealing with that. We're as accountable for it in His sight as if it just happened this moment. When we come to the end of our journey, we could say in a way that each one of us are writing an autobiography of our own lives. And when we come to the end of it, we're going to read that autobiography and the Lord's going to read it with us. And it's serious. The things that are included therein, the Lord wants us to be careful of the way that we live so that the pages can be read in innocence and purity. Before Him, we'll read it, and the Lord will read it with us. If thou doest well, you'll be accepted. But if not, sin is crouching at the door. Now, I want to talk about this phrase a little bit more, where He said, unto thee shall be His desire, and thou shalt rule over Him. There's a passage of scripture in the book of Isaiah, the 34th chapter. And this is old brother Isaiah talking about the failure of the whole nation of Israel. You see, there are themes in the Bible. The whole Bible is one long teaching against sin. The story is presented many different ways, but it's really the same story over and over and over from all the different avenues. In this case, the Lord chose to use the comparison to wild animals. He used that same comparison with the Israelite nation when He gave them instruction on what it was safe for them to eat and what was not. Some He declared to be clean and some He declared to be unclean. He was using that as a comparison to taking only things that would be such as we'd want to read in the autobiography of our lives when we come to the end of it. But the nation fell away from God. Isaiah happened to live during that time. And so he says in the 34th chapter of his book, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, which means everything. And then he speaks of the indignation of the Lord as upon all nations. But it could be equally said, it's upon all sin. I won't read all of it, but it's important to read some of the end of it to you. Talking about what happens when nations, people, individuals turn away from God, the streams, meaning the streams of life from heaven, thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, land thereof into burning pitch. And it said, it shall not be quenched, the smoke thereof shall go up forever and ever. None shall pass through it forever and ever. Speaking of the paths of sin, it means there's no good passage through it. The cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the lion of confusion and the stones of emptiness. The thorn shall come up in her palaces. The wild beasts of the desert shall meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of shadow, a place of rest. And there shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. That's what the Lord quoted. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. None shall want her mate. There's a reference again. It means this. What are we chaining outside our doors? Some people chain lions. Hearts full of violence and bitterness. Some people chain snakes. The Lord spoke about a generation of vipers, and he said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? I remember seeing a little snake over in India. It was only about that long. It's called a crate, K-R-A-I-T. It was dust colored. You put it out here in the field, almost impossible to see. Very poisonous. Easily provoked. If you happen to get close to it, those two little needle sharp fangs, the poison in it causes blood vessels to be compromised. You start bleeding from your nose and your eyes and your ears. And this lasts for maybe an hour or two, depending on where you're bitten, how much poison you got, and you die. People do from it. Well, people, I compare that to backbiting. And the use of tongues. It's poison. It's spreading poison. Some people have got snakes chained up outside their doors. Some people got jackals outside their doors. The Lord compared folks to these kind of things. He called Herod a fox. Go and tell that fox, he said. Sly, cunning, underhanded, not straightforward, not honest. Some people are like wolves. If you can see their spirit, that's really what they're like. Damaging, hurtful. We get that way from the thoughts that we think and yielding to those thoughts. And the scripture said concerning these that every one of them would have their mate. Well, that's a serious scripture. And here again, it's a window into the way God looks at things. When Peter spoke to Ananias and Sapphira as they were brought before him out of the temple, he said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? He said, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? The comparison that God gave Cain is to the same language that he used with Eve in the garden. And it's referring to a mate. It's referring to the connubial connection that lies between the two. The fact of the matter is, the devil is the father of liars, and the mother of liars is the heart that has illegal concourse with the spirit of the devil. And when people do that sort of thing, it hatches out after a while. People have things chained up outside their doors. Snakes, lions, hyenas, the bats and owls. I learned about owls one time in the woods. I was sitting very quietly. Squirrels were playing around me. And all of a sudden, I heard a squirrel scream. And I looked, and an owl had swooped down on it. The little squirrel got away. But then I learned what they mean when they said an owl has noiseless flight. An owl's wings are not like other birds' wings. They're rounded over. And they don't make any sound, scarcely any sound at all, when they go through the air. And there are spirits like that, you know. You almost don't realize that it's there until you open the door to such a thing. Some people have got monkeys chained outside their door. Monkeys can be cute, but monkeys are a terrible pest. Monkeys are mean. They bite and they won't leave anything alone. And monkeys enjoy tormenting other things. Some people have spirits like that. That's what all of this passage is talking about. And he's saying, Cain, you're kind of the forerunner of it all. But this is the way of people who give in to sin. is a terrible way to be. And you know, if all we had is what's here in the book of Genesis to deal with it, we'd be in very poor condition indeed. Because the Lord told Cain, you have rule over it. If the best we could tell people is, when the old devil gets this kind of advantage on you, and if we live in sin, any of us, no matter who it is, if we walk in sin at all, some of this happens to us. If all we could tell them is, you go rule over it, reform yourself. There may be a few people of strong enough moral character to push back some things. For most of us, we'd just be in trouble. We'd just be in trouble. That's all there is to it. But listen, even in what God told Cain, in all the hardness of this, there is a sweet promise. Because the Lord never told us to do anything that he didn't intend to help us do. And there is an answer. And we don't have to be found in the kind of places that I have described to you. The psalmist spoke about it in the 91st Psalm. You've heard this before. It's what Jesus told Satan was in the Mount of Temptation. He shall give his angels charge over thee. It's what this Satan told Jesus, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. But who is that spoken of? It's of the Lord. It's of him. But if it's of him, isn't it of you and me too? Well, listen to the next verse. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet. Praise God for salvation, for the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't only give us a commandment that we should not allow ourselves to have these things have dominion over us, although sin has desire to us. Sin wants to rule us. It's the same thing he told Peter. Satan has desired to have thee, and he may sift thee as wheat. It wasn't only Peter, folks. If you and I walk in that way, he'll sift every one of us. We'll have nothing left at the end of life but chaff and emptiness. But he said, I prayed for you. What a valuable thing to have the Lord reaching out to you and me. He's got the answer. There are not any of us big enough to master this in ourselves, but there is a promise in this, even this hard scripture. He said, his desire shall be to you, and you shall rule over him. And I wouldn't command you to do that if I didn't intend to give you a way to rule over him. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ has got grace and victory to give us power to tread on serpents and on lions and on anything that there may. Wouldn't mean very much to me to walk out of this chapel and walk across 25 rattlesnakes on the way to my truck. I really don't care that much for them. I'd just as soon shoot them and leave them alone. But to be able to deal with the things the old devil has brought into my life, that's worth a whole lot more than whipping lions or wolves or anything else of the sort. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for holiness and the blessing that makes us able to be lifted above where old Satan would take us. I am so thankful for the power. Memory can be cleansed. Memory can be cleansed. All of us have a conscience. And our conscience, once defiled, does not lie in our power to change it. But there is one who can wash our conscience, innocent and clean. I love the ordinance of baptism. The testimony after being baptism is, old devil comes to tell you, you know you've mated with the lions. You know that you've got the spirit. No, that's the old man. That one's buried and dead. That's not me anymore. I'm a whole new creature. Thank God. There's never been that kind of way at all, because all of that's buried and washed under the blood of Jesus Christ. And now I'm free. We have that privilege. It is a fountain. We have the privilege to come to that fountain whenever we need it. Whenever we need it. The power's not in me. It's in a fountain. Thank God for the fountain. Thank God for the answer. Thank God even for old Cain. There was a way. He didn't have to do what he did. And folks, you and I don't have to either. I'm sorry he did what he did. But that doesn't mean we've got to make that choice. We can choose something better. That's what he came to give us. Lord, deliver us from the things that can be chained at our doors. You can even think of it this way. We can put other things at our doors if we want to. We can put doves out there. We can put little sheep out there. We can surround our lives with gracious and gentle and innocent things by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the courtesy of your attention this morning. Amen.